Available now, Crimson Trace introduces their instinctive rear-activation G4 laser sights. These new models fit most Gen 4 frames. From subcompact to full-size, they enhance Glock's streamlined fit and easy holstering. CrimsonTrace.com. Confidence you can see.
With something in basic black, like an AR-15.
Some things never go out of style, like Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.
Oh man, am I ever having fun. We get to talk about guns. Hey, I'm Tom Gresham. It is Gun Talk. Check it out, guntalk.com. If you'd like a chance to win a gun safe, we're giving one of those away. This is the last week you can register for a chance to win. Just go to guntalk.com/contest. It's Liberty Safe. They're Franklin 25, a really good gun safe. And also included with that is the shipping and the delivery, and they'll bring it into your house and set it up. You cannot beat a deal like that. Guntalk.com/contest for a chance to win the free gun safe. Also, we're three weeks away from Father's Day. Go to shopguntalk.com, and you can take a look at some of the fun stuff we have there for possibilities to get something for your dad. Speaking of that, and we'll get to our guest in just a second, I got to get line three in here. Andrew is in Surprise, Arizona. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Tom. This is Andrew Sines. I'm a school teacher out in Arizona. Uh-huh. I love your show. I download all of them to the podcast on my iTunes. And yeah. I just wanted to call and share with your listeners that today I took my dad out to the range to shoot in his first match. It was a 22 pistol match out at the Rio Salado in Arizona.
Right.
And I hadn't been able to get him to shoot in any matches because he's a retired butcher and he's got a really bad shoulder, and so he's never wanted to shoot the bigger calibers in the matches. And so today we went out and shot in the 22 pistol match, and he did pretty good, and he had a really great time. I was glad to be able to share that time with him.
He's
retired
great?
And lives out of state, and so he's here visiting, and I thought it would be a great Father's Day present to spend the afternoon with him and,
sure.
and hey, go
Andrew?
Shooting.
Andrew, two questions. Did you get any pictures of the two of you together?
You know, I really wish I did, and I went to the car to get the camera, and my phone didn't charge up. We left at 5 a.m. In the morning, and my phone wasn't charged up, so I missed out on the picture opportunity, and we talked about going back the next time he's here.
Well, I'll tell you what, next time you get a picture and also save one of his targets, get it framed for him, and give him the target in a frame.
Yeah, that sounds like something he would enjoy, definitely.
Yeah, there you go.
And he was really excited to shoot the gun that he bought me when I was a teenager. And, he got some compliments on the gun, and he was really happy and, was telling people, oh, yeah, I bought this gun, for my son when he was going to, school. And so it was a really fun morning for us.
Well, isn't that great? I mean, we always talk about fathers taking their sons and daughters out, but it's pretty much fun to also take your dad out shooting. It is. I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's a family sport, and that works both directions. You can take your parents out, your grandparents out, and you can take your kids and grandkids out.
Yeah, and he taught me and my brother to shoot, since we were little boys, but always with just 22 rifles. And, he was never really into handguns. And I think, now he's kind of got the bug. He's been going with me to some matches, and I think, I'm going to have to buy him his own 22 now.
There you go. Well, it's easy to get the bug. Hey, Andrew, thanks for sharing that with us. And one of the things that makes it so much fun, I mean, there are always new guns coming out. And then some people, they go off the reservation, if you will. I mean, they make some guns that you look at them and go, holy cow, is that ever different? And you get different reactions. People go, that is outstanding. That is cool. I have never seen anything like that. Well, one company that's been doing a lot of that is Charter Arms. Joining us right now is Nick Ecker. He is the president of Charter Arms. Hey, Nick, how doing?
Hi, Tom. Good. Very good. How are you?
I am good. You guys, I mean, when I go to your website, every time I go there, you have something new. How do you do that?
Well, it's very simple. In this world, if you listen to a woman, they will tell you what they want. And that's what we did.
Okay.
Women kept telling us they, we came out with the first pink revolver. The girls at our plant were the ones that said, Nick, we don't want Pepto-Bismol pink. We want hot pink. From that time on, I knew that we had to go run all the colors by the girls.
Well, I just looked at one.
And people at shows would come up and say, I want lavender. Can you make that? Sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just looked at one online. It's called Santa Fe Turquoise. That is stunning.
Yep. Thank you. That was another person's idea. You know, people just hit us up with these things and say, this is what I really want. And we do it, and it takes off.
Well, and so it's got to be from the end. I mean, just think about inside your company. It makes for more and more different models to make and to inventory. I mean, is that becoming a problem?
No. No, that's not been a problem. Even with the, you know, we had the Pink Lady for about 6 years now, Tom, and one of our polishers said, Nick, I want to buy a Pink Lady for my girlfriend. Well, he high-polished all the components. By the time that gun got into the girls in packaging, they all wanted one. So that's why we came out with the Chic Lady, and we put it together with an alligator case, and it's off the charts.
Okay, I just clicked on the Chic Lady. That's the one with the pink alligator case also.
Yes.
Okay, let's back up. First of all, in case there's somebody who doesn't know Charter Arms, explain what Charter Arms is and a little bit of its history and what you do.
Sure. Charter Arms was invented by a guy by the name of Doug McClenahan, who happened to be my godfather. And he had worked at Sturm Ruger, at High Standard, and Colt, and he came up with the idea for the whole hammer block safety system. And he chose not to patent it because he thought it was good for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone else followed suit after that with some sort of hammer block safety system.
Right.
And my father joined him in 67, and I joined the company in the mid-80s, right before my father sold out. And then, unfortunately, the company was bought out by some people, and I left the company in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it did go out of business for a short period of time. And in 1998, we purchased it back. And
boy,
we've been operating ever since 1998.
Yeah, boy, is it ever back. It is back in spades, I'm telling you.
You know, we have a very simple philosophy, Tom. We keep things local. All of our parts suppliers are, 95% of them are within 1 hour's drive. So we know all of our parts suppliers very well. If we have a problem, we go see them. We employ 33 people, and we believe that, you know, and they all very much care about what they do.
And you're right there in Gun Valley in Connecticut.
Correct. Yep. Right on the river.
Okay, as I'm looking through, and for those who don't know, Charter Arms makes revolvers, some really nice revolvers, and you got, I see 38s, 32s, 357 Magnum, and of course, a lot of people will probably identify, and obviously 22 rimfire, but a lot of people identify Charter with the 44 Bulldog. Wouldn't you agree?
Correct. Yes. That's the flagship of our company. The 44 Bulldog is probably the finest self-defense carry gun made. And the reason why I say that is because ballistically, 44 Special is very close to a 45. But our 44 Bulldog only weighs 21 ounces and is about the size of a J. Friend Smith.
And it is the thing I like about it, it's available in a double action only, which would be for self-defense. That would be my strong preference.
Correct. Sky Marshals used to carry the Bulldog on the planes back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
A lot of guys going over to Iraq and Afghanistan, service guys on the way over would buy a Bulldog just because of the tremendous knockdown power and the compactness of the design.
Right. And somebody was just asking me about the 44 and how does it relate to the 44 Magnum. I said, oh, yeah, the 44 Magnum is much, much more powerful, which makes the 44 Special very shootable. I liken the recoil to somewhere in the 38 plus P, maybe, but it's between 38 plus P and 357, wouldn't you think?
Yes. I mean, the recoil is actually less than a the recoil on our 44 Special when you shoot it is a lot less than what the recoil is on our 357.
Right, exactly.
It's low pressure. It's 17,000 PSI versus 36,000 PSI.
Right, so it's comfortable to shoot.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, can I get you to hold on just a second here? I got to take a quick break. All right, talking with Nick Ecker. He's the president of Charter Arms. Check it out, charterfirearms.com. That's charterfirearms.com. Take a look at the pink pistols, the blue, the lavender. I mean, it's quite amazing. And frankly, if you're looking for a revolver, take a hard look at the Bulldog. We'll be right back with more Gun Talk.
The Ruger SR22 is the do-it-all 22 pistol for the shooter who appreciates style and demands reliability. Easy to field, strip, and reassemble, the Ruger SR22 shoots a broad variety of 22 LR ammunition. It features an ambidextrous manual thumb safety decocking lever and magazine release, two options for grip, and a fixed white dot front sight and adjustable rear sight with reversible blade. The Ruger SR22, another American-made product from Ruger.
More than the trade association for the firearms industry, the National Shooting Sports Foundation's mission is to promote, protect, and preserve hunting and the shooting sports. We promote participation, helping to bring more new people into the sport. We protect our sports from the field to Capitol Hill. We preserve hunting traditions and firearms freedoms for you and for future generations. Promote, protect, preserve. It's not just our mission, it's our passion. To find out more, visit nssf.org.
Time is running out to get your tickets for the Outdoor Dream Giveaway, and Gun Talk listeners get a special deal. You could win a 2011 Ram 2500 4x4 and a 21-foot Ranger boat with Evinrude motor and custom trailer, and a Can-Am Commander side-by-side, and a $10,000 prepaid gas card, and $30,000 cash to help pay for the taxes. Plus, it's for charity. Your donations for entries are tax-deductible and will benefit wildlife and conservation causes. Here's the Gun Talk deal. Go to OutdoorGiveaway.com and enter the code GUNTALK5. You'll get your tickets doubled for any donation over $20. Or call toll-free to 855-459-6400. Use the code GUNTALK5 and get double bonus tickets for any donation over $20. That's OutdoorGiveaway.com.
Back with you here, 866-TALK-GUNS. We're talking with Nick Ecker, the president of Charter Arms. Nick, I got to admit to you something. During the break, I'm spending time on your website, and the producer is hearing me in his headset laughing because I am having so much fun. An OD green and black revolver, a tiger stripe and black revolver. I'm just looking at this and going, that is just cool looking, man.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be black or stainless anymore.
No, you know? not at all. And honestly, you know, why wouldn't you have a gun that appeals to you, that is interesting looking? When you take it out at the range, people go, what is that thing? And now the conversation starts.
Yep, exactly. Everybody's unique, so it's to fit your own personality.
Well, so how often do you bring out variations or new guns?
It depends. I mean, the market pretty much tells us what they want, and then we'll come out with it. You know, the great innovation that we had over the last couple of years is we have the world's only left-handed revolver, the Southpaw.
Well, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, that was actually the inspiration of my youngest daughter, who's left-handed. Mm-hmm. And it sells very well. Also, we make the only rimless revolver that does not use moon clips. We have a patented system. So we are shipping the 40 caliber now, and the 9mm is right behind it.
Now, for those who are wondering, what would a left-handed revolver be? Because obviously there's no safety. But we're talking about the cylinder release latch. Now, does the cylinder swing out the opposite direction?
Correct. You could have lot of fun with that gun at a show when you hand that to a person that can't figure out how to open it.
I bet. They keep pushing on that cylinder, and it's not opening.
Yep.
Which, by the way, for those of us who always talk about if you happen to pick up a gun in the middle of a fight, if you pick up a revolver and you're trying to swing it out, you just may have picked up a left-handed Charter, so try pushing it the other way.
Exactly.
Man, I'm just looking here. Well, obviously the 22s have still got to be a significant part of the business.
It's very strong, both in 2-inch. We make it 2-inch, 4-inch, and 5-inch.
Okay. And a 22 mag.
Correct. And we also make the combo gun so you can switch cylinders back and forth.
Nick, when you get a chance to meet somebody, they, you know, you're trying to explain to them about Charter Arms, how do you describe the niche that Charter has in the firearms business?
The one thing is, Tom, that we do is we probably have the lowest return rate of anybody in the industry because we make them late going out the door the first time. If a gun ever comes in for repair, and they do come in, since 1964, we have about 2 million guns out there. And guns come in from the 60s, but every gun is shipped back out within a week.
And of course, they're all made in America, made right there in your plant.
Yep. Yes.
And
100%.
When a gun comes in, what kind of warranty policy do we have?
We have a lifetime warranty on any gun that we made since 1998.
Okay,
if another gun, old gun comes in for repair, we fix it at a very reduced rate, and then lifetime warranty it.
Sure. Okay. Is there still interest in the 32 H&R?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Huh. And we make it in a variety of colors also.
Yeah, I knew you did. You don't hear people talking about the 32 H&R that much.
Well, ballistically, it's a great cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women really like it, you know, because it's got, ballistically, it's very close to a 38 special, but it doesn't have recoil. And in the 32 Magnum, you can shoot 32 longs or shorts if you want.
Right, exactly right. So you're going to get a little bit less recoil. Now, do you get, I should click on this, do you get is it still 5 rounds or do you get 6 out of that?
The 32, we 5 32. Rounds in our small
version. It's 5 rounds,
version.
Okay, because these are small revolvers.
Yes, they are the smallest, lightest revolvers in the world.
Okay. Well, all right, as we look down the road the next year or so, what are we going to see from Charter?
Well, you're going to see us shipping our 9mm, and then we'll be coming out with the same revolver in a 45 ACP.
Oh, wow. That's going to be strong.
That's going to be strong.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I'll tell you what, do us a favor. As each of these comes out, let us know. We can talk about them, okay?
Very good, Tom.
And more than that, we'll get one in. I get to go play with it.
Exactly. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate the time, man.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. You take care. Nick Ecker, he's president of Charter Arms. Fun to have presidents of gun companies, isn't it? Charterfirearms.com. That'll get you there. Let's see here. Oh, I want this one. Line 4. Troy is in Milton, Florida. Troy, thanks for your patience. You're on Gun Talk.
Well, thank you. I was just wondering, I recently had to sell a Smith & Wesson M&P 15T, and I am now in the market for an AR this summer. Mm-hmm. And I am weighing heavily towards the gas piston-operated Ruger SR556. And I'm just trying to get as much information and opinions on the benefits to the gas piston as opposed to the, you know, direct gas impingement system.
Sure. It's a question that comes up a lot, as you might imagine. People say, okay, you got the newer gas piston guns versus the direct gas impingement system.
Right.
Essentially, the piston guns are cleaner and cooler, much, much cooler. If you run a regular gas impingement gun, you say, okay, after several magazines, you dare not touch the bolt. It is hot.
Exactly, right.
We actually went out, we shot a little video for the TV show. We had a gas gun and a piston gun right next to each other, and I had one of those, a laser thermal or thermometer. So you just pointed at it,
right.
And you could get... And it was a warm day, and so when we started out, the bolts were 108 degrees both. We shot, we didn't shoot them a lot. We only shot one magazine through each gun, but the gas impingement gun went from 108 degrees to 137 degrees in a magazine.
That is amazing.
But here's the important part. The piston gun went from 108 degrees to 106 degrees.
Wow, that is amazing.
The bolt flying back and forth actually cooled it off.
Wow. So wow.
That gives you an idea of what's going on there.
That would probably improve performance, too, correct?
Well, that is the theory. Now, whether or not it, I don't know. Now, let me ask you a real quick question. Did you like your Smith & Wesson AR that you had?
I did. I didn't have too many problems. I mean, I never had a malfunction or anything mm-hmm. like that with it. You know, it ran great. It was a great gun. But, you know, one of the most reliable guns in the world, the AK, is gas, piston operated. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I'm just curious as to, you know, if it will bring the best of both worlds, you know, as to the AK and the AR, I never had any problems, but I was just curious as to if mm-hmm. the gas piston would be more reliable.
I don't know exactly what to say on that. I will tell you, I'm struggling with the direct impingement versus the piston. And here's what I find, is that a well-maintained and well-built AR of the old style of gas impingement works fine, is reliable. A piston gun works fine, is reliable, certainly shoots cooler, certainly shoots cleaner, so you don't have to clean it as often. In my case, I'm not shooting 4,000 rounds at a time, so maybe not an issue. But I would say this, and I have shot the Ruger 5.56 piston gun. It is a really, really nice AR. So if that's what you're thinking about getting, I'm going to suggest you go ahead and pull the trigger, so to speak, and get the one that's in your head, because I know how it is. You get a gun in your head, and you're thinking, man, I'm comparing it with everything else. Eventually, you got to go with the one that you're using as the centerpiece for your comparisons. In this case, it's the Ruger SR-556. It is a reliable gun. It's an accurate gun. It shoots cool. It shoots clean. And I just like it. Also, it's adjustable. And should you ever want to put a suppressor on it, it's kind of nice to have the adjustable piston on those so you can get reliable functioning with your suppressor. And lots of people are getting getting suppressors, and even though you think you might not, that could change at any given time. 866-HAWK-GUN.
Welcome to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. The best guns, the best guests, the best talk.
All right, we're back with you. And I, before I forget, I'll start talking about guns again. Let me tell you about the movie I was mentioning. We're talking about our favorite military or war movies. Here's one that you may not have heard of, or you may have forgotten about if you ever heard of it. It's called Zulu, and it's been around a long time. Let's see, when did this come out? 1964, Michael Caine. And it's about the siege of Rorke's Drift in Natal, Africa. Goes back to that happened on January the 22nd, 1879. Not Zulu Dawn, just Zulu with Michael Caine, 1964. If you get a chance to rent that one, check it out. Okay, Bill, line two, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bill, you're up.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for what you do for the shooting world and us shooters. Getting back to the movies, the Sergeant okay. York movie, I know that question was already answered, but here's another question. Uh-huh. What two sidearms did he use when he was advancing up the hill?
Ooh,
in
okay,
that
I've got,
one
I've,
scene?
I've got to guess that one was a 1911.
Okay.
And I don't know the other one. That,
you don't?
I just don't no, I'm just...
He had that German Luger tucked in his belt.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That
okay.
9mm.
All right,
and
so you got a question.
Another thing I'd like to do, I find a little trick when it comes to getting the seating depth when you're reloading.
Mm-hmm.
I find a trick that hasn't failed me as of yet. After I, you know, do all the case preparations, you know, in particular the case trimming, what I do is it ruins a case, but what are you going to do? It seems to work. What I'll do is take that case and get the Dremel out, and in the neck area of the case, I'll cut two slots lengthwise. I'll then put whatever bullet that I'm using for that load, I'll insert that into the mouth of the case, then chamber it very carefully. Then backing it out again carefully, I'll take my overall length measurement of the case.
Sure.
That usually puts me right up to the rifling in the chamber.
It would.
So I will then start backing it off, say a thousandth of an inch. Take it out, you know, with a few different loads and see what happens. And I have yet to have that system fail me. As far as, you know, tweaking a load out, it'll give me a pretty decent size five-shark group at 100 yards with a center fire, of course.
Let me jump into the middle of this, though, because what you're describing is a system, and it'll certainly work, where you're seating the bullet. We're talking about a bottleneck bullet, a rifle bullet. You're seating the bullet against the lands, hard against the lands.
Correct.
Which some rifles shoot very well that way.
Yeah, that's my starting point. I don't know. I shouldn't.
So you're actually taking it off the lands a little bit.
Don't take it out and shoot it with that bullet touching the lands.
Right, because you can get pressure excursions
with
that.
I know. Like I said, that's my start. You know, I don't. I back it down. Then I start the reloading process.
But gotcha.
I've never, you know, taken it up two lands and taking it out that way.
Well, that works. There's nothing. All you're doing is you're actually creating, and obviously the cartridge you cut up, you're not loading that. All you're doing is creating a bullet seating gauge with a fired cartridge and a bullet that you just basically cam into the chamber and let the bullet seat deeper and deeper into the neck as the bolt goes down and cams in. Then when you take it out carefully, now you have the max overall cartridge length for that chamber, that rifle, that caliber.
You know, I start out by backing it off of about 100,000.
Right.
0.001, you know, and that's usually my starting point.
Right.
And look,
let me just, I've got a bunch of people I'm trying to get in here, Bill, and I appreciate it. Let me just say, for those of you who are interested in reloading, we've gone fairly geeky into bullet seating depth, which I love to do, but get a good manual, do a little reading on it, go to the Sinclair website, Sinclair International website, lots of good information there on bullet seating depth. So as long as we're talking about loads, let's go to line three. Rob's in Parrotsburg, Kentucky. Hello, Rob.
Oh, hello, Tom. Love your show, man.
Thank you, thank you.
Hey, I just traded a Brazilian boat anchor for a Charter Arms Bulldog 44. And I just want to know, is that little gun going to be strong enough to handle the premium defense loads that you can buy and a few hand loads that I generally shoot in my Smith, but like 7.5 grains of Unique or 14 grains of 2400 under a Keith bullet?
You should have no problem shooting 7.5 grains of Unique and a 44 Bulldog. Talking 44 Special, I just want to make sure that people are here. Sometimes people don't hear what we say. They think they do. And let me just say this again, because I don't generally like to talk load data on the air because people hear different things. We are not, and I repeat, not talking about a 38 Special. 7.5 grains of Unique is way too much in a 38 Special. But we're talking 44 Special, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. By the way,
I appreciate it because it's such a little gun. I'm not trying to magnumize it. I've got a bunch loaded up from my Smiths, but I just didn't want to disassemble that little fella at the first time I took it to the range.
No, you should be good. I worked my way up. And check your load data, and see what the pressures are of those loads, probably in the 14,000 to 16,000 PSI range. You want to keep it under 17,000 for that load. And, oh, by the way, the thing about Unique, one of the great descriptions I heard about it, I've loaded a fair amount of it, even though they reformulated it to make it cleaner burning, some people have called it flammable dirt. it's dirty. But it works, so there you go.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. You've eased my mind.
All right, yeah, shouldn't be a problem for that load, for that gun. I don't think you're going to have any problems there at all. 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. Still asking, what is your favorite war movie? 866-825-5486.
Smith & Wesson Bodyguards carry more comfortably, walk more confidently. When it comes to personal protection, nothing beats a bodyguard. Choose the lightweight, compact, and concealable Bodyguard 380 pistol or the Bodyguard 38 revolver, both with a built-in laser sight. The Smith & Wesson Bodyguards carry more comfortably, walk more confidently.
Looking for shooting instruction but don't know where to go? Well, we have it, and you can access hours of training and safety videos, which you can watch on your home computer. On GunTalkTV.com, we have top competitive shooters, the best in self-defense trainers, and folks who have hunted all over the world, helping you learn which gun to buy, how to use it, how to store it safely, and everything else you need to be a safe and competent shooter. We also have gun makers showing off their newest rifles, shotguns, and handguns. Doesn't matter if you're a veteran shooter or a complete beginner, you'll find what you need at GunTalkTV.com. You can check it out for free, and you can get full access for only $5.95 a month. That gives you unlimited access to hundreds of videos, and we're adding more all the time. Run the videos over and over to make sure you understand what's being said. Skip around. You're in control. Get smarter, shoot better. Visit GunTalkTV.com.
A great trigger can make you a better shooter. For over 60 years, Timney Triggers have been trusted by hunters and shooters everywhere. Timney Triggers are proudly made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty. Installation is easy. Give yourself the Timney Trigger Advantage. To see more and order online, go to TimneyTriggers.com. That's T-I-M-N-E-Y, Triggers.com.
All right, back with you. Looking for your favorite war movies. Al called in, didn't want to stay on, but he threw in to the mix The Patriot. Said he liked it because there was no foul language. Yeah, the Revolutionary War. I think, was that Revolutionary? Was it 18? Can't remember. I think it was Revolutionary War. Mel Gibson, The Patriot, Aim Small, Miss Small. Good flick. I like that one. Yeah. And let's see. Well, I'll throw another one out here in just a second. Let's talk to Jay. He's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, line 4. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Tom, I was just wondering if you got any experience with the new Hornady, Ron, the Z-Max, Zombie Max. You know, I don't want to be caught with my pants down when the undead are walking around.
That's it, man. You have got to be prepared for the zombie apocalypse. I'm telling you, you know.
I know, okay. I'm stockpiling them.
Inside story, all right? You ready for this?
Yeah.
This was Steve Hornady's idea. Steve is all about the zombie apocalypse. Okay, Steve's son, Jason, I'm going to tell stories out of school here, really runs that part of the biz. And Steve's telling him, we got to do this zombie ammo. And Jason's going, no. Finally, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, the old man. I got to do this for the old man. So he put together this, and all it is repackaging. I mean, you get that, right? It's repackaging of the ammo they're already making. But it's zombie ammo, all right? So it's zombie. Everything's zombie now. So they start selling it, and they sell a lot of it, and then they sell more, and then they sell truckloads, and then they sell lines of truckloads of ammo. It is going out the door as fast as they can make it, and all of a sudden, the story I'm told is Jason's got to go into Steve, his dad, and say, Dad, we can't ship the zombie ammo right now. Says, well, why is that? Well, we're out of the packaging, the boxes. I said, well, that can't be. He says, turns out Jason didn't order as much as he was told to because he didn't think it was going to sell.
Pretty funny.
Got to listen to Dad, man. There's a reason that Dad has his name on the company and runs it. So, no, they are selling the stew out of this stuff, and zombie is hot. We're actually doing a zombie episode in our Gun Talk TV show this year. And so we've been talking to people about preparing for the oncoming zombie apocalypse and what loads to use, what bullets. Oh, yeah. You got to look, like you say, maybe it doesn't happen, but can you really afford to take that chance?
Exactly.
Well, we're having a lot of fun with it, as you can tell. But, yeah, why not? Buy it all. Buy it, shoot it up, or save it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just have fun with it. Jay, thanks for the call. Line 3, Steve's with us. Eagle River, Alaska. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today? Thanks for taking my call. Well, first of all, the war movies, you know. I'm thinking Dirty Dozen, Lee Marvin fan.
Yeah.
Also, I like the Guns of Navarone. Robert Shaw's cool, you know. And it's a toss-up. I couldn't really pick a third.
Okay, here's one for you. Robert Shaw in another war movie, Battle of the Bulge, a blonde Robert Shaw.
That's right. He was a tank commander.
He was the tank commander. Oh. And Henry Fonda played a great role in that one. I will never forget him where they cut the engine off in the little L3 or L6 little surveillance plane, and they're drifting in the fog so he could hear the tanks below them with the engine out. And they're gliding in this little plane. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A blonde Robert Shaw. That's funny.
Yeah. It was that's weird. Cool. And that little interplay between Robert Shaw and his assistant, the little German guy, very good. It's actually a real good movie, Battle of the Bulge. God, there's so many good ones out there. But anyway, you want to talk about the 338 La Pua.
Yes, sir. Recently I went to a Ducks Unlimited up here in Alaska and won the long range hunter Savage 111 338 Lapua.
You dog.
I'm sorry.
You dog. I can't believe it. That's great.
I know it. I've got a few people here that are kind of envious, and I'll be honest, I've never shot a rifle with this kind of range and this sort of ballistics, and I'm just curious, what would you recommend as a bullet? I have a Burris on it right now that's a 4.5 by 14 by 42, and I really, well, I'm sort of a novice at these rifles. It's got an AccuTrigger on it, which I'm a little sort of a novice on as well. Any kind of insight?
Well, okay, here's the deal. That rifle is more, and people are going to take exception with this, that rifle is more than you need for hunting, and I don't care what you're hunting, frankly. But what it is really good for is, now I'm talking about North American hunting, it's really great for long-range competition or just, I mean, that's a 1,000-yard-plus gun. That's what that's all about. And if you're going to shoot it at the range at 200-300 yards, there's almost no point.
Right.
But if you've got access to a long range, some long distance range,
I would go to Birchwood, and I heard you mentioned that earlier. And really, I just want to get an idea of what this thing can do. And up here, it's pretty mountainous, at least in my region. And I'm curious, what do I zero this thing at? 300? 400? I don't even know.
Okay, let's back up. It's very difficult to hit anything beyond 400 yards. You can always figure the drop tables, but the wind starts coming into play, and that's what causes people to miss. If you've got access to a 1,000-yard range, go out and shoot it. I would sight it in probably to be on at about 250. If you're going to hunt with it, figure it's going to be on out to 350 to 400. But before you think about taking shots beyond 400 yards, need to get out and do a fair amount of shooting at those distances in the wind to find out what happens. The wind blows those bullets around like crazy. And if you can't make, if you know that you can't make the shot, or if you're not certain you can make the shot, then a responsible hunter doesn't pull the trigger. There's all things you can do, all kind of research on the 338 Lapua online. Shoot it, have fun with it. If you decide you don't want it or it's just too heavy to carry around, which may end up being the case, you can always sell it. You don't have much into it at this point. All All right, I got a strong vote here for Last of the Mohicans. Yeah, that works. That certainly counts. Really good movie. Yes, it was. Liked that one. Rondo called in, said he liked Full Metal Jacket. Not my favorite, but okay. And then Ken called with one that I should have mentioned earlier. I agree with you, Ken. We Were Soldiers, based on the movie, based on the book, We Were Soldiers Once and Young by Joe Galloway. If you get a chance, the book is phenomenal. You got to understand where it is in perspective to in history in Vietnam. But I thought they did a really good job with the movie. I thought Mel Gibson did a great job playing Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore. So We Were Soldiers Once and Young, a particularly good movie. Line, let's see here, 4. Keith's with us, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, Tom. I got one movie you may never have heard of. It's called Bravo 2-0. It's British Special Forces in the First Iraq War.
I have not seen that, but it is faintly ringing a bell, like I've heard of it, but I've not seen it. Wait. You know what? I read that book.
Right. There's a book.
I read the book. That's why I'm remembering that. And some very involved Special Forces stuff.
And yeah, it's really, the movie's really good, too. But my question before the end of the show is, I have a Glock 34, and I have a 6-inch barrel for it, and I want to get the side. I want to know if it's going to be worth it. Will I be able to get a better grouping? I read in their catalog, where there's a lot of counter-terrorist units use a 6-inch slide. Does that have to get a better grouping?
Okay, let me explain what happens. The gun is not more accurate when you put a longer slide on it. But it becomes a bit more shootable. Here's what I mean by that. It's you have more precision with your aiming, just like a rifle. You know, if you took, let me see how to do this. If you take your finger and you move and aim with your finger and you move the end of it a quarter of an inch, then that would make a bullet, this was your gun, that would make a bullet hit off, you know, several inches out at 20 feet or so. If you took a yardstick or a rifle and moved the end of the muzzle a quarter of an inch, it's not going to move. It's all about angle. It's not going to move the bullet impact that much. So the longer the barrel is, the easier it is to shoot something more accurately. You have greater aiming precision. If it doesn't make a difference in the actual accuracy of the gun, if you put it into a clamp it into a vise or a rest, it'll shoot accurately or not. But the length of the barrel is not the key there. But what it does do is it makes it more precise for aiming. So, for you, if you have it, if you want to go there, I would say absolutely. I love shooting long slide pistols just because they make me look like a better shot because it makes it easier for you to shoot.
I had a regular 17, and when I got the 34, my group got a little tighter. So I'm figuring I got the 6-inch barrel, I should go with the slide.
Yeah. I mean, do what you got to do. And I'm sorry, but I'm only catching a little bit of what you're saying. You're breaking up with the cell phone. So I'm just guessing that that's it. Oh, the other thing, thank you for the call. The other thing that happens is if you add weight, it's a great point, Jim. Thank you. The balance changes a little bit so that you get a little more weight out there. It's like a bull barrel on a target pistol. And the heavier barrel has more inertia. So it doesn't wobble as much, it doesn't wiggle as much, it hangs on target. So that adds something to it. So ultimately, what you end up with is a gun that you will shoot better. Longer barrel, heavier barrel, that ends up adding to a gun that you, a handgun you're going to shoot better. And they're just delightful. I don't care if it's old high standard or what it is. Long barrel, heavy barrel, the Ruger 22s with the full barrels, love those things. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget what it's all about. Think a vet. Put them in your thoughts, okay? Especially those who are no longer here. We'll see you next week.